Galatians chapter number 2, starting here in verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'm going to preach today here out of verse 16, that little phrase there, it says, in Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach here today on the thought here of in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word here today, Lord. I do pray now that you fill me with your spirit. I pray you give me your words, your wisdom, your direction of and clarity of thought here today, Lord. And I pray you do what only you can do, and that's to speak to the hearts of those here today. Lord, I pray you have your will and way, and if there is somebody here or even out on the internet that's never been born again, Lord, I pray today, this is the day of salvation for them, that they call on you for salvation, Lord. Be with us now. We'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, 249 years ago, on July 4th, 1776, our nation was founded and with a powerful document called the Declaration of Independence. You might have heard of it. But 56 men signed that document and declared that the United States of America was going to be a free country, and that all the citizens of the United States of America would have certain rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now that phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, was written by Thomas Jefferson, and it's included in the Declaration of Independence, which states this. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, I thank God for the freedoms that we have in our country. I praise the Lord. We live in a free country. And I thank God for those men and women who have gone before us and who have shed their blood, and they died they were willing to die to secure the liberties and the freedoms that we have today. And unfortunately, we become a nation, a group of people that we take for granted these freedoms. We take for granted those people who gave it all and died out there on the battlefields. But we take for granted those freedoms to worship, those freedoms of speech, those freedoms to live free, those freedoms to bear arms. A lot of these we take for granted. But I want to talk to you today about something else. Now, yes, Thomas Jefferson spoke of life, liberty, and happiness. But the true meaning of those words is only found in Jesus Christ. Those true meaning is only found in Jesus Christ. Life, liberty, happiness was never meant to be found in a government. Any government, anywhere. It was always only meant to be in Jesus Christ. Now, if you try to find life outside of Jesus, you're only going to find death. Hey, if you try to find liberty outside of Jesus Christ, you'll be a slave to sin. Hey, if you chase happiness outside of Jesus Christ, you'll only find emptiness. And so today, I want you to see here that you can have life in Jesus Christ. You can have liberty in Jesus Christ. You can have happiness in Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want you to see here is just that. I want you to see that life is only found in Jesus Christ. Look there at our text in verses 16 and verses 17. He says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. You cannot be acceptable to God by religion. Religion will keep you lost and on your way to hell more than anything in the world. Good works is not the way you're going to get to heaven. Keeping the law is not it either. And you say, why is that? Well, because every single person that's ever been born has sinned. We've all sinned, including you and I. We all come short of God's glory. God is holy. He is on the throne. We are imperfect. We are incomplete. We are guilty. Turn over to Romans chapter number 3. Look here in Romans chapter 3, just a little bit back there. In Romans chapter 3, look at verses 19 and 20 here. In Romans chapter 3. We're showing you here that life is only found in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, in verses 19 and 20, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, right here, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, we're all guilty. The law is just that. The law is our schoolmaster. The law teaches us that we are guilty. We are sinners. The law teaches us that we are guilty before a holy, righteous God. Isaiah 64, 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Everything I think is good about me, God says, it's filthy rags. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Now, when God breathed in the man life, He breathed into the nostrils of Adam, the first man. He breathed into him and He gave him life. When Adam sinned, he forfeited that life. He forfeited. When Adam disobeyed God there in the garden and he ate of that fruit that God said, don't do it, he sinned. And from that day until now, sin has entered into the world, and death by sin. In Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed from all men, for that all have sinned. Hey, you might think you're alive here today. You might look alive. You might eat, you might drink, you might talk. But let me tell you, without Jesus Christ, you're already dead. You're already dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians 2:1 tells us, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In 1 Timothy 5:6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hey, you can be morally good, you can be religious, you can be faithful, and still be spiritually dead if you're not in Jesus Christ. If you're not in Jesus Christ, no church can give you life. The baptismal cannot give you life. Hey, it's not going to happen. The preacher cannot give you life. Only Jesus Christ can give you life. Turn over to John chapter 1. Turn over to John chapter 1, and let's look here at these amazing verses here in the beginning of John chapter 1. Start here in verse number 1 of John chapter 1, talking about Jesus Christ here. He says here in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Talking about Jesus Christ. How do I know this is Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is the Word. In verse 14 it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. When He took on humanity, He took on the form of a man. But I want you to see there is verse 4. Look there in verse 4. It says, in Him was life. Jesus is that life. And the life was the light of men. What am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus is life personified. Jesus is the life. Life is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 100% God, 100% man. He took on the form of our flesh and the form of man, but that blood that went through His veins was God's blood. It wasn't man's blood, it was God's blood, and that's the only reason He could die for the sin debt of the whole world. In John chapter 14, in verse number 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You notice Jesus says He is the only way. He didn't say He's one of the ways. He didn't say there are many roads. He said there is one way, there is one path, and if you don't come by that one path, you're not going to go to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You've got to believe the gospel message. The gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary. He died in your place. He died in my place, and He's on the cross. All of our sin debt was put on Him on the cross of Calvary that day. And that's why Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Why? Because my sin and your sin was put upon Him. And God is a holy, righteous God, and He can't even look upon sin. And so He had to forsake His Son there on the cross because He was dying in our place. He died in your place. And if you want to get to heaven, you got to come through Jesus Christ. He is the only way you can get to heaven. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on the salvation. You see, life is only found in Jesus Christ. How is that so? He died for me. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary. Colossians 3, 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Let me ask you, are you in Jesus Christ? Those of you here today and over the internet, are you in Jesus Christ? Do you have life? Jesus is the life. I think of Lazarus in John chapter 11. I think of Lazarus who was dead for 4 years, 4 days. He was dead for 4 days. He was buried. He was in the tomb, and Jesus knew he was sick. And Jesus knew he was going to die, but Jesus knew there was a mission for him. Jesus was coming, but it was 4 days later. The Lazarus has been wrapped and bound in grave clothes. He was dead in the tomb. He was stinking, but you know what? Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up, and you know what happened? Life showed up. Life happened because Jesus is that life. And Jesus just said, hey, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened? Lazarus came forth. He was alive. He was very much alive. In John chapter 11 and verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. You shall never die. Why? Because He's alive. And then He says this same question that He poses to us here today. Believest thou this? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the life? Do you believe that there is no other life other than Him? Jesus Christ is it. And you know what's amazing about Jesus being the life is the fact that He doesn't just give life, He gives abundance. Life. In John chapter 10, in verse number 10, He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life. You see, the abundant life in Jesus Christ isn't He's not talking about bigger houses and more cars and more boats and more toys and a healthy, happy life. That's not what we're talking about. What He's talking about is having peace in the storm. life is full of trials and storms, and we go through these. Being in Christ, having the abundant life, is knowing He's with us. And He gives us that abundant life. He gives us those peace through the storms. Without Jesus Christ, you're wandering. You're wandering through this life dead in sins and trespasses and chasing money and more money and fame and the pleasures and everything that's going on in this world. And you're seeking for those. But you know what happens with those things? You never find the abundant life in those things. Solomon didn't find them either. He said this in Ecclesiastes 2:11. He says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun." He said, all this that I did, all these things that I acquired, all the time I spent to get this, what a waste of time. I didn't have any abundant life in that. That was a waste of time. It was all vanity and vexation of the spirit. What are you saying, preacher? All I'm saying is only in Jesus Christ do you have the abundant life. Only in Jesus Christ. How many of you today are searching for peace? How many of you are searching for peace? We live in a world where most everybody is searching for peace, but peace is only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, Jesus Christ is the only one who can give you peace. The world can give temporary peace. Hey, the things that are going on with President Trump and with Israel and Iran, and we're seeking peace, that's great. But you read the Bible, you know that's not going to last. That's a temporary peace. Only in Jesus Christ do we have true peace. I think of Paul and Silas. They were beaten. They were beaten for Jesus Christ. And then they were thrown in jail. And you remember what they did? They sang and praised the Lord. How can they do that? They had the abundant life in Jesus Christ. That's how they did it. What about you and I here today? Hey, if we're beaten, if we're mocked, if we're made fun of, if we're done wrong, what's our reaction? Are we in Christ? Are we singing and praising the Lord? You know what else He does? He gives not only abundant life, but He gives eternal life. He gives eternal life. You know what the definition of eternal is? It never ends. Eternal is eternal. Everlasting is everlasting. It does not end. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I met a man yesterday out on soul winning, and he was outside, and I walked up to him, and I began talking with him, and I said, "Hey, we're out from Gilead Baptist Church," and I began talking with him, and I asked him the question. I said, hey, do you know you're going to heaven when you die?" He said, oh yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm a good person, and I'm trying to do good, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And I said, "Well, can I just talk to you for just a minute? Can I show you a couple of verses in the Bible here?" And I began to show him some of these verses, even verses we've looked at already. But how we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I began to go through the Bible, and I showed him these verses. If you turn over to 1 John chapter number 5, I'll show you these verses. In 1 John chapter number 5, starting in verse number 11, I showed him these verses. But I began showing him what God's Word said and how, hey, we can do good all we want, but that's not getting us to heaven. That's not getting us to heaven. Jesus already paid it on the cross of Calvary. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son." I showed him that verse, and I told him, hey, God has given us the Bible. He's given us the Word of God so that we can know we have eternal life. But what is it that gives us eternal life? And it says right there, His Son. And who is His Son? It's Jesus Christ. And I said, does it show anywhere where it talks about being a good person or doing this or doing that is going to get you to heaven? No, it doesn't say that. And we went on. He says, and in verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And so I said, hey, do you have the Son? God has divided every person into one of two groups. You either have the Son and you have life, or you do not have the Son and you do not have the life. There is no middle ground. You're not almost saved. You're not working your way to be saved. You're either saved or you're either lost. And we began reading on again in this verse 13. I said, God wants you to know you have eternal life. And this verse right here tells you, He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. That's K-N-O-W. That's a head knowledge. You may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, you see, we do not hope to get eternal life. It's available right now. We don't have to wait till we die to get eternal life. It is right here, right now. You get it that moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 3, the Bible says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." In John chapter 20, in verse 31, the Bible says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." You see, there is no other way to get life. It's only through Jesus Christ. You can reject Him. You can reject Jesus and choose death. Or you can receive Him and have eternal life. One heartbeat away is all that's keeping you out of hell today. If you're not in Jesus Christ, if He's not your Savior here today, one heartbeat away. Yeah, you can try some other road. You can go down some other path. But unless you're in Jesus, the end will be eternal separation from God. Life is only found in Jesus Christ. But number two, I want you to see here today, that liberty is only found in Jesus Christ. Not only life, but liberty is only found in Jesus Christ. And back in our text in Galatians chapter 2, in verse number 20, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Liberty means freedom. Liberty means freedom. And spiritually speaking, it means freedom from the bondage of sin. You see, at 38 years old, I was a lost man, and I had the bondage of living in sin for 38 years. But that moment that I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I got born again, He gave me the liberty. He gave me the freedom of all my sins being forgiven. Liberty, my friend, get this. Liberty is not a freedom to live how you want. Liberty is not the right to do as you please. It is the power to do what pleases God. It's what pleases God that counts. Paul's not talking here about a physical death, right? I'm crucified with Christ. He's not talking about a physical death. He's talking about a bond with Jesus Christ through His death on the cross of Calvary. And when Jesus died on that cross, in my place, I was literally crucified with Him up there. My sins were crucified with Him up there. That old man was crucified on that cross of Calvary with Him. Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Hey, I no longer live for myself. I no longer serve the sin that I used to serve. My old life is over. That old man, I don't even know who he is, and you wouldn't recognize him. But he's dead. He's been crucified with Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:19 says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." If you want real life, if you want real liberty, you must come to Jesus Christ. It's only in Jesus Christ. You must be crucified with Him. I am alive only in Jesus Christ. If you turn over to John chapter 8, I want you to see a couple verses here. In John chapter number 8, look here starting in verse number 32. In John chapter 8, look here in verse 32. And I'll read a few verses here in John chapter 8. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Liberty only comes in Jesus Christ. Now, we look at our country. We are the land of the free. The one thing we Americans cherish probably more than anything is our freedom. Again, freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, freedom of religion. But Jesus teaches us here that real freedom isn't a political thing. It's a spiritual thing. And again, it's only found in Jesus Christ. There are so many people walking around in our country that, yes, they have the freedoms of living in our country. They have freedoms on the outside, but they're still in bondage on the inside. Jesus hasn't set them free. They've not been set free. Hey, many, and you don't got to go very far. You start talking to people around here. Many say, oh, I know Jesus. I was raised in church. Hey, I was baptized. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But they've never been set free by Jesus Christ. Hey, the world says this. The world says, hey, I can do what I want because I'm free. I can do what I want and go what I want. But let me tell you, they're in bondage. Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. You know that's a true story there. Jesus said that in John 8:34. We read that. But Jesus gives liberty. In Jesus Christ, you can have liberty. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When you're in Jesus Christ, there's liberty. He has set you free. He has set you free. You're no longer under that bondage of sin. We are now free from the penalty of sin. We are now free from the power of sin. We are now free from the presence of sin. What am I talking about? Romans chapter 8, number 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ. You see, once you've been born again, I don't have to worry about ever going and burning in eternal flame. I don't ever have to go and spend 1 second in the lake of fire. I don't ever have to go there and be tormented. There's now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what happens when you get born again. You're free from that law of sin and death and that bondage, the bondage and that guilt of that sin. Jesus takes it away. In Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. In Galatians 5:13, he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I think of the demoniac of Gadara in Mark chapter number 5. You know the story. Jesus traveled across the Sea of Galilee for one reason. He had to go meet this man. He had to go meet this man. This man lived in the tombs. He lived in the cemetery. And he was possessed by demons. And he was a violent man. And he ran around there. He was naked and he cut himself. And they tried to bind him in chains. But no chains can bind him. Nobody could help this man. He was a lost cause, so they said. But Jesus is coming. Jesus had an appointment with this man. And you know what happened? When Jesus showed up, those demons got afraid. Those demons, they trembled, and Jesus cast those demons into the swine there. And afterward, that man was sitting clothed and in his right mind. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, Mark chapter 5 verse 15 says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Only Jesus can do that. Only being in Jesus can do this. Society had tried to bind this man with chains, but that was their strategy. Oh, we have the same strategies today. Psychology can medicate you and keep you comfortably numb. Religion will keep you lost in your sins and in bondage of sin. But let me tell you, only Jesus Christ can regenerate. Only Jesus Christ can break the bands. In Psalm 107, verse 14, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Hey, if you're still living in bondage here today, maybe you've never been born again. If sin still controls your life here today, maybe you've truly never been set free. There is no rehab. There is no program. There is no religion that only that can do what only Jesus Christ can do. Are you in Jesus Christ? Because liberty is only found in Jesus Christ. And I got one more here for you. Life, liberty, and happiness, number three. Happiness is only found in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 144, verse 15, the Bible says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Psalm 146, 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Happiness is only found in Jesus Christ. Hordes of people searching for happiness, but very few people will find it. People looking in all the wrong places. They look in all the wrong things, hoping to find happiness, but it's not there. It's only found in Jesus Christ. We are free to, in this country, to pursue happiness. But I want you to know about happiness is that it's not a right, it is a consequence. It is a consequence. And the actually, when you get down to it, the pursuit of happiness is actually a joke, really. Because the more you chase it, the more frustrated you become. You ever tried to chase down happiness and it just leads to emptiness? You're chasing it and you're frustrated. Happiness, it's been said, is like your shadow. Run after it and you'll never catch it. But keep your face to the sun and it will follow you. Happiness is not a pursuit. Again, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. Proverbs 16:20 says, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." It's a gift of God. It is a gift of God. And Ecclesiastes 3:13 says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labors." It is the gift of God. Happiness is the gift of God here. The world offers temporary happiness based on our circumstances, based on our bank accounts, based on our health, based on our surroundings. And you realize that today we have happy meals, we have happy pills, and we have happy places. But let me tell you, none of those things bring happiness. They do not bring happiness. Happiness is not found in a bottle. It's not found in the bank. It's not found in the beach house. It's only in Jesus Christ. Oh, but preacher, if I can only get this job, if I only get this job, hey, preacher, if I can only get this relationship. But you know what? All of those things, they end in emptiness. There's no happiness there. There's no happiness there. Ecclesiastes 2:17, Solomon said this, and he said it again, "Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit." What am I saying? I'm saying happiness is only found in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You see, when Jesus saves you, when you get born again, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He puts a joy in you that nobody can take away. There is a happiness in you, the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and nobody can take that away. Galatians 5:22 talks about joy being the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. It is a result of Jesus living in us. Amen. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." So I'll conclude here with this story. There's a story about a missionary who told the story of a young child, a young girl who was in an orphanage, and she was abandoned and she was abused, and she had no parents, she had no money, no possessions, and she had nothing of her own. She had nothing, okay? And she had every reason to be angry in life and to be bitter in life. But one day, a group of missionaries came to where she was, and they brought the gospel. They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that day, that little girl trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And the very next day, she was seen going about the place there, just singing and smiling. She was so excited. She was singing and smiling, and there were tears in her eyes. And one of the workers came up to her and asked her, "Hey, why are you so happy? I've never seen you so happy before." And she looked up to her, and she had those tears running down her face and her big old smile. And she said, "I used to cry because I had no mother. I used to cry because I had no father, but now I have Jesus Christ. And you know what? He said He'll never leave me. He said He'll never forsake me, and He'll always be with me. And you know what? His promise is good. He said that, and He will never leave me." She said, "I'm not alone anymore." That little girl, she had no money. She had no home. She had no family, but she was the richest person in the world. Why is that? Because she had Jesus Christ. She had the joy of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you can have everything in this world, everything this world can give, and still have a miserable life, and still have no life, and still have no liberty, and still have no happiness. Only Jesus can give those. Life, liberty, and happiness. They all have one thing in common. You know what that is? Jesus Christ. You cannot have any of them unless you are in Jesus Christ. So I ask you here, are you in Jesus Christ today? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you know for sure, 100%, you're going to heaven when you die? If you're not sure, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and you can come forward and tell me you're not sure, and we can take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. You're here today, you say, "I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I trusted Jesus Christ, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, amen, praise the Lord." But let me ask you, are you still looking for happiness in the world? Are you still going down the path of what the world can give you? And maybe today, you just need to come to the altar and give your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've strayed away. Well, today's the day you come back to Christ. Life, liberty, and happiness await you, but only in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.